Schaefer's. Welcome to Medium Inc. And we think we have psychic medium AJ Barrera with us from California, but we've been on the air now for like 8 seconds and already had technical issues. Jeffrey seems to think it's the spirits. Are you allowed to call them dead people, or do they get insulted?
No, they were okay with DPs.
DP me, Jeff. Seriously,
DPs.
AJ.
What's wrong
with that? You being a little bit younger, AJ, you understand what he just said, correct?
Yeah, dead people, yeah.
Okay, never mind then. Apparently, I'm the only... Right, anyway, I forgot both these gentlemen are married. You know what DP means, don't you, Jeff? All right, he's nodding his head. Anyway, AJ, welcome.
I was waiting for you to go there, because we know you got to go there.
Wait a minute. I read a lot, sir. I do not want to be accused of... Anyway.
Is that what you call it?
AJ, welcome back. How you doing, brother?
Oh, thank you for having me back, guys.
So, on a serious note, I understand that right now is a very tense time in the world, tense time in the country. I'm glad we can laugh. But as a medium, especially one that's seeing all this chaos on TV, how is this weighing on you?
Oh, my God, energetically. I mean, there's so much that affects me. I kind of suffer, I don't want to say from anxiety, but I do have a lot of anxiety when it comes down to world events and dealing with certain issues. And not only with this whole pandemic, but with, you know, everything else that's going on here all around the world. And it's very draining, and you have to ground yourself and protect yourself during these times. And even with, you know, us being sensitives or intuitives or mediums, we take on a lot of energy. We take on those emotions, and especially if we are an empath or we feel emotion more so than seeing our information. It's really draining. So I always kind of tell people, you know, just focus on psychic self-defense or focus on protection and grounding, because that's going to be the main thing that's going to help you and keep you in line and keep you in the right state of mind. And I'm also a big individual who does prayer. I was raised Catholic, so I believe in prayer still. I believe in a higher power. I still do meditation every day, even when I'm not working with clients. So there has to be a perfect balance that's there for each one, for each and every single one of us.
Which is ironic. You're a Catholic, but this is frowned upon in most religions, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think it's one of those things coming from this background. You know, my parents were devout Catholic, and my grandparents were. So it was very taboo for them to really, really want me to go down this path. You know, I was involved with youth ministry, went to catechism, went to, you know, Catholic school, doing all that whole night, you know, all that stuff. And so a lot of people thought that I was going to be involved in the church, and I was going to become a priest or, you know, a Monsignor or something of that nature, because I was so involved in doing youth retreats and things of that nature. But that did not quite play out that world. It basically became me talking to the dead for a living, so...
Well, you mentioned grounding yourself. It's a term that I've heard throughout my whole life because my mother is a tarot card reader, and I've heard different interpretations of what exactly that means. So with the world being so chaotic, what is grounding yourself in today's world?
Oh, my God. Well, grounding yourself can pertain to many different things, and it's not just, you know, sitting on the floor and, you know, crossing your hands and doing om. You know what I mean? Meditation or grounding can be... listening to music, clearing your mind, watching television, if you like working in the backyard or like woodworking or whatever you like to do, that's a form of grounding and protecting yourself. You're not really focusing on the energy that you're receiving from all the news stations or all the, you know, things that are going on in the, you know, online, you know, information from websites, if it's going to be whatever source you get your information from. But, you know, part of the grounding too is like, I'm not always on social media. So when I'm on social media, it's usually I'm there with either talking to a family, talking to a friend here or there. But I try to stay off social media because there's a lot of negative stuff that's on there. So for a while when, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was going on my feed, I would always have like all positive, like the, you know, the dodo and stuff like that about animals and positive stuff that would come into my feed. So I wasn't seeing everything about the news or bombings or fires and this and that. So I think grounding is just really focusing of going within yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to focus on just really doing meditation, but whatever form of meditation you think that works for you, just clear your mind, letting go, detaching from anything that doesn't serve you anymore energetically.
We're on the line with Psychic Medium AJ Barrera on 94.3 The Shark, Everything That Rocks. Oh no, this is Medium Inc.
Yeah.
I got confused. All right, anyway, it doesn't really matter. It's all the same. AJ, I do want to get more into that, but quickly, how do people find you?
Absolutely. They can find me on my website at ajbarrera.com. You can find all my online events, workshops, private readings, all that good stuff there.
You know, it's usually Jeffrey being the one who gets mixed up, giving out the wrong phone number.
Not today.
But did you notice, because social media has been around now for about 20 years, you know, MySpace, then Facebook, did you notice a certain point when your energy started to change and when things started to get a little more crowded and clouded with social media?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I would say in the beginning, you know, coming into social media, I'm trying to think back because, you know, when I started doing this work, I was still a private person. I'm still pretty private. You know, I post a lot about my personal life on social media. I don't talk about it a lot, usually in radio shows, depending on what we talk about. But I would say back in the days when MySpace, like, was really hot, you know, like, it was going, people were on that. And, you know, I really did not use MySpace that often. I did not use it for business. It was really just to reconnect with family and friends, even with social media, with Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I mean, TikTok is just a whole other beast in itself, to be quite honest. And I'm not even on it that often. But it has changed dramatically about, you know, how we get the messages out there. Or it can be very toxic of working on social media or being on social media. So I don't know if it has really, you know, caused any good or caused, you know, I think it caused more of a, what's the word I want to use? It's almost like a bully, you know, in some sense. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are always going to judge and always going to have some sort of hatred. So I just feel like there's always some sort of negativity no matter where you go, what you do. So social media is just a different beast in itself. And it's always difficult for me to talk about it because I see a lot of it. And even on my work itself, like, people are always going to comment saying, like, it's not good, you're a fraud, or this and that. And people are open to their own opinion. But again, I think it's just really just coming from a safe place. If that answered your question in a loose way.
Absolutely. You know, being in radio, I get the criticism all the time. You suck. You don't play this. You don't play that. And then the next, I don't know, 5 years is the same people at the same times with the same criticism, meaning that even though it's 5 years later and they hate me, they're still listening. We get it on this show all the time. And I would imagine it's the same thing with you. You're a fraud. You suck. Yet you're still watching.
Agreed. We have one of those tonight. He's got nothing better to do.
That might be my brother. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's for you. It's for me. So you didn't know.
No, it's so funny, Jeff. And, you know, when I do this work, my brother's like, you know, still a skeptic, you know.
Yeah.
He, you know, I do this work for a living. He will, you know, make fun of my work, but he always refers, you know, sends his friends and other people, coworkers to me and this and that. And they'll say, oh, my God, I got this amazing reading by your brother. He goes, yeah, I don't believe it. You know what I mean? So my brother's just one of those people that will always tease me or always make fun of me in my work. But he supports it, I guess, with his friends, but in his own way.
I understand that logic, though, because growing up, I was the biggest skeptic. But then when my friends were drunk at 2 a.m., Mom, could you read my friend's tarot cards? You know, and it was awesome, and I looked like a hero, you know?
I love it. You know, when I used to work at retail, you know, I was working for Sears and Roebuck, and this was like 18 years old or something. I was barely starting my, I guess, quote-unquote, my readings really on a professional level, but I was still doing house calls and whatnot, so when I was working in retail, I was doing, like, hardware. I was working in sporting goods. So there was always a running joke with, you know, a lot of the customers or a lot of, you know, the employees that were there saying, like, oh, you buy a treadmill, you get a free reading, or you get to talk to your dad or your loved one, because I was always reading for customers. And I did not know really how to ground it or control it, so I was still in the process of learning about it. So it kind of makes sense.
What made you get into the grounding or discovery? Like, did you run into some issues?
Oh, yeah. The issues with grounding for me was not knowing how to ground myself, not knowing how to protect myself. I was constantly like a battery on always getting drained, like, every day because, again, I was still, you know, I wouldn't say a kid, but I guess a kid coming into this work, not really knowing how much energy it takes and how draining it could be and also how needy certain clients can be because they drain your energy at the same time because they're wanting specific things, specific information. And I know in last time, you know, Jeff and we all discuss about, you know, sometimes if we don't say that one thing in a reading, sometimes they get offended, the client gets mad or upset because you not say that one thing and doesn't make that reading valid. So I had to learn how to, like, understand myself and this work together because I did not really know who I was because I was a quiet, shy guy. Like, I did not talk to a lot of people. I kept to myself. And then over time, I had to learn this work. I had to open up and expand to talk to people and really deal with issues. So it really made me grow up pretty quickly because I was dealing with so many different issues with not just death, but relationships and business and things of that nature. So, and these are people that are sitting with me that at 19 and a half, 20 years old, and these people could be my parents, my grandparents, so on and so forth. Sure. And, you know, I really believe it's helped me just go within and really understand my work, because, you know, grounding meditation has always been key with me, but I think it's really just being protected. I'm more afraid of the living than the dead, to be quite honest. But I'm not afraid of the dead. I'm more afraid of the living. So that's why I ground. I ground myself from the living, to be quite honest, not so much from the dead.
When you talk about, you know, getting messages and reading people, is there a particular style that you have that you think sets yourself apart? I mean, Jeffrey's very abrupt, more so since he started hanging out with me. But he was much softer on walk, and he's found his rock and roll voice. But, like, did you notice throughout time developing your own style of doing this?
I don't know, because, like, I for me, you know, I do a lot of remote viewing. I think we all do it, but we don't recognize it when we do remote viewing and readings. But, you know, I can, you know, and most of the time I can talk to a person and describe what their house looks like, the color of the carpet, the floor plan, you know, the, you know, what they have hanging in the wall or what they did in honor of their loved ones. Like, I can do a lot of remote viewing. I can, you know, take on maybe their persona or their energy or the personality of that spirit. But I strive on evidence. I think most mediums strive on evidence. Some of them just kind of do your fluff and stuff. And I'm sure Jeffrey has heard or witnessed some readings or some mediums that are just on fluff and stuff. And there's not anything valid to back up the information, because anyone can, you know, always say, oh, you have someone that passed with a pain in their chest. And that could be anyone, your family, right. Buddy, for saying, I got your grandfather here, or I got your dad here, and blah, blah, he passed with a triple bypass. You know, I strive on evidence. So if evidence comes through, it's typically from spirit. But if I'm not getting enough evidence, sometimes I talk to spirits and give me more, if it's going to be a name, you know, personal references or stories. And when that comes through, again, that's key to any reading. So that's what makes the reading valid for people, because, like, there's no way you would have known this. And that's the only way we know this is because we're communicating with that loved one in spirit.
You know, I never want to put anyone down, but I've noticed throughout years being around this so much how many frauds there are out there. And not so much frauds, but people that think they're better at this type of thing than they really are.
Right.
And sometimes that's even more dangerous to me than a fraud.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there are people out there. You know, I just read something a week ago. It popped up on my feed. There was a lady that scammed three guys out of $150,000. And I think it was in North Carolina or Florida. I can't remember. But she says, oh, we're going to make you more money. We're going to do this kind of like a ritual, this and that. Literally, they went to her shop, like, the next day. Everything was gone. She packed up and left. They, you know, she ran off with the money. So there are people that are scam artists, frauds, things of that nature. And there are people who are truly, like Jeffrey and us, like that, that really do, like Jeffrey and I, that do this work day in, day out, that gives us, you know, a bad name because of people like that, that truly are healing lives and changing lives and bringing that awareness and giving that intuitive guidance or closing that gap or bridging that gap between the physical and the afterlife.
We're on the line with AJ Barrera on Medium Inc. And AJ, you just reminded me of something extremely important. There is an imposter Jeffrey running around. Have you gotten that taken care of?
Yes. Well, he gets it too. You got it on Instagram, right, AJ?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny because I had the imposter on Instagram follow me, and then I blocked him. And I'm laughing because I went on during the week and I told people, I'm like, hey, if you see that the person has 22 followers, there's something wrong.
Like, right.
You know, like, it's not a norm. And if they're asking you for money, you know, it's like, and it's ridiculous because Instagram, I tried to get, I guess it's called certified or whatever.
Verified.
Verified. Oh, yeah. It's impossible. They're ridiculous with their rules. Like, you can't get it done. And I was, it's like, as long as you don't have that, you're going to get imposters. And
there's a fee for it, isn't there?
I don't know.
No, there's no fee.
There's no fee?
No.
There's no fee for it. You know, there's Instagram will never charge you a fee unless it's a fake account, like a fake spam account trying to make money off trying to get people verified. But there's no fee for that. It's just really, you know, having maybe a rep or someone that could represent you doing that. I mean, I've done it many, many times. I just know a friend of mine. She just did the old-fashioned way, just went through the verification process, and she got, you know, verified. And she's been in this work maybe, you know, several years less than I have.
I don't know. Verified. I think you just have to be lucky, because I put my YouTube stuff up, the books, everything, and it still didn't get me verified.
That's crazy.
You know?
I figured you would, since you're an author.
Yeah, that's why I didn't understand. So, you know what? I'm going to actually speak. I have a friend that's a publicist, and she knows better. So I'm going to find out if she knows something that I don't know, because it was very frustrating. Well,
Jeffrey's been on Maury how many times?
Numerous times. I've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Last year, we had an imposter reach out to me through Instagram direct message offering me a reading for $30 from Jeffrey. And I was like, listen, I don't think you're real. And he goes, well, you know, why are you being so skeptical? I'm like, because Jeffrey's my broadcast partner. And then he blocked me.
They're just unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
He's like, $30 will give you a reading. I'm like, why are you ripping me off, Jeffrey? Are you serious? Like,
oh, yeah. Well, some of these scam artists now, they charge like now $400, $200. And some of my followers actually fall for the scam. And they say, oh, I sent you money via Zelle or via Cash App or Venmo. I'm like, we don't even do all that stuff. They get upset with me. And I've done so many Instagram lives or IG stories and posts about it and this and that. And people just don't, you know, they're not aware, or they just feel like that, oh, why would I reach out? But everything's booked in my office. I would never reach out. I've never solicited my readings.
Well, that's exactly. That's what's so bad about it. I mean, when you look at the fake accounts, it's ridiculous, because if people would just look, they would realize
that. With the three followers,
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference. And then I was laughing because somebody on, we've been getting, like, when I do Facebook Live, you get these people that come up afterwards on the feed, and they're trying to tell you, I was drawn to you. So I actually been watching, because they will follow you, and then you got to just block them so they can't do it. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, especially when you do any of these lives, especially with Facebook as well. I mean, they have multiple people that say, oh, I sense energy. And it's the same spiel with, you know, even TikTok. I don't know. I think I have, like, TikTok doesn't even take down those fake accounts, and they're messaging people as well, saying, congratulations, you want a reading. And I think I have 15 fake accounts that are on TikTok right now that are fake, that they still haven't taken down, you know, that were taken down. So it's kind of upsetting, and they're not following their guidelines. Instagram doesn't follow their guidelines. It's like they allow these people to go through this process and put people that are in a grieving process to send out money, and they're upset. So they're causing more harm than anything else from what we're doing. And all we can do is, again, try to get verified, try to go through that process. But again, make people aware, and that's all we can do. It's like from there on, it's out of our hands.
Well, these are people that are preying on the most vulnerable. People, I know a lot of people go to Jeffrey, go to you, because they need to know something that they can't do on their own. You guys have a gift that just isn't available to everybody, and that's what ticks me off about all this, is because these people, you know, under normal circumstances, who didn't just suffer a loss, might not fall for this.
Right.
That, you know, that to me is the most frustrating part. But listen, we do our part. We got our guys on here that, you know, did he start yet? We got guys that ask for, you know, a generous donation, and then they'll get read, and please don't fall for that anymore. But anyway, we have psychic medium AJ Barrera with us. And AJ, for those that are not as fortunate as guys like you and Jeffrey that have this gift, there's still, and I've read Jeffrey's books and I've heard you talk about it as well, there's still feelings that you get that your loved ones are with you. So for somebody that doesn't have the medium gift, what would you look for to feel that your loved one is with you?
Oh, well, I mean, there's a number of things, but I think the most common thing is that people want are dreams. Dreams, or we would look at them as being a lucid dream where you're aware that you're dreaming, but you're also aware of, like, what's happening in the dream. Then there's also visitations where your loved ones will come through to you, and where you wake up with emotions and feeling them and sensing them and hearing their voice, and you wake up from that experience. So dreams are something to pay attention to. Like, not every dream is going to be about a loved one, but it's easier for them to connect with us because they're working with their super subconsciousness, like the super subconsciousness. So there's a level of them that they can easily tap in because we're aware, we're not all fully there. And sometimes in that lucid state that we kind of sense that someone's around us. So paying attention to that, going into paying attention to dreams would be actually paying attention to what you're feeling and what you're hearing. So if there's moments that you're taking a walk and you have like your headphones on and all of a sudden, you know, on, you know, satellite radio or whatever, you know, radio app that you use to listen to music, all of a sudden the song pops up of a loved one who's in spirit and you're like, oh my God, that reminds me of that person. Listen to that. That's a sign of your loved ones coming through that reminds you of them. Smells, if you're in a vehicle or you're in your own vehicle and you smell cigar smoke, and you're like, oh my God, like I don't smoke. You know, there's no one smoking around me right now. There's no one outside smoking. This reminds me of so-and-so that comes through. So whoever comes to your mind at that very moment, typically it's going to be that loved one stepping forward here. So those are a couple signs. Numbers, repetitive numbers, they can call them angel numbers, or in numerology, they can call them life path, attitude numbers. You know, there's all these different references for them, but numbers could be a sign from your loved ones, which could be, say, that your loved one in spirit's birthday is like 9/11, and every time you look at the clock, it's 9/11, or you look at it, it's 444, or the person passed at 444. So it's about paying attention to those signs, you know. And then Mother Nature, like I kind of joke around sometimes with people where you're like, oh, like, you know, there's butterflies here, it represents, you know, my loved one and this and that. Not all the time they come through and talk about those things, unless spirit really wants me to talk about that. And there was one reading that I did, and it's actually on my TikTok, and I asked the client, is it okay if I share this? She goes, absolutely. And I said, like, I was talking to the girl, her parent was on the Zoom call, and I said, for some reason, your dad is telling me to give you ladybugs or talk about ladybugs. And the mom and the daughter just started crying. She says, like, oh, my God, my dad and I used to go to Ladybug Park all the time. And so, again, you know, there's references like that that just makes complete sense to the sitter or the client. And it can make other sense in different ways. So Jeffrey can give a message and saying, like, I don't know why your mom is bringing up, you know, apples or something, you know, and she could have just been loved baking apple pie, or she could have loved, sure, you know, or they planted an apple tree in honor of her. So we can misinterpret something. Same thing with us in the living. We can misinterpret the signs. We miss the signs because we're so aware of our everyday life. We're not paying attention to things that are very subtle, because messages from spirit can be very subtle. And I just think if we're just open and receptive to consciously making the effort to make our connection, that's what we do, because we have to kind of see this the same way. Like, if we want to go see a friend or a family member, you know, you want to be invited. So we have to invite our loved ones into that space, into that sacred space. So if it's your home, your bedroom, your office, wherever that is, you create that space. And then when you welcome them, you're allowing that door to be open where they can step forward to make maybe an easier connection with you. But it's just being open, receptive to everything that's around you. But it doesn't mean that you have to look at everything for a sign. You know, just let it happen organically and you'll receive those messages.
Well, I don't have to worry because my grandmother doesn't wait for an invitation. She just kicks the door down. But... You know, you mentioned dreams. The other night, Jeff, I didn't tell you this. The other night, I never dream. I had a dream that I was doing an appearance, and the owner of the bar I was doing the appearance in was a former New York Jet, and it was James Earl Jones. It wasn't really James Earl Jones, but it was definitely James Earl Jones.
Did you watch Star Wars or something?
No. And his name in the dream was Henrique Oliveira, who I looked, and he's a Brazilian painter. So like
I don't know what
former New York Jet, 69 Jet, James Earl Jones, and he's a Brazilian painter. Like, try to put that one together. I don't know, but yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that's you. That sounds like you.
Yeah, I'm like, I really can't make sense.
I know,
of that.
I wouldn't touch that one with
I was like, why is Darth Vader in my dream? Why did he play for the Jets? Like, seriously, why would you pick the Jets of all the teams?
I don't know, you're a masochist, maybe.
It is possible. Jacqueline says, we all dream Orlando, we just don't remember them. Jacqueline, yeah. I may remember three dreams a year, and that's probably a lot. It just doesn't happen. But we're on the line with psychic medium AJ Barrera. AJ, it's always fun talking. I mean, those are interesting things. Like, you'd mentioned the radio before. I think with the people that I speak to, it's the most common that when somebody believes a loved one is coming through, it almost always seems to be the radio.
Yeah, you know, because you have to think, you know, and Jeffrey can probably agree with that, that, you know, our loved ones are our energy. We're all made up of energy, water and energy, you know. So when we connect with our loved ones, they're going to use any source of energy or any other means to connect with them. So they use a frequency. So you have to think they're vibrating at a frequency at a certain level. We vibrate at a lower level. So this is how, you know, mediums build that connection. You know, we speed up our energy, spirit lowers down theirs, and then we bridge that connection. It's the same way how spirit works with us by using vibration. So if they're taking the energy from your mixer or your microphone or your batteries from your cell phone, they'll use that source to kind of make themselves known to you. But music is a very easy, common way for them to communicate. But also, I think we resonate with music in many, many different forms, where we listen to a song and it takes you back to that very moment where you remember, like, oh my God, I remember at this age I was doing this, or I remember at this place. It brings back those memories, because we associate music with certain experiences in our life, and I think our loved ones know how to do that, to manipulate that energy so they can talk to us or give us that memory, like, oh my God, I remember my grandma loved doing this, or my mother loved doing this. So they're going to use any ways to communicate with us, and music is a very common one. When that happens, guys, for anyone that's watching, listening, just know that is your loved one's way expressing their love to you. That's their by their way of coming through to you in music and any other signs. It's their way expressing love to you.
Do you ever hear the songs? Like, are you able to relay the songs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's actually specific songs that I can hear, or I don't know the artist, but I can hear it. And I tell them, I tell my clients, I'm not going to sing it to you, but this is what it sounds like, or this is how it goes.
Sounds like me.
But there's times where music comes through, specific ones. Like, there was a specific song, I think yesterday, and I don't always get music references, but I told this gal, she lost her mother, and I said at the very end, I said, like, I told the gal, I said, like, your mom is saying to talk about, I said, I know the artist, don't know her last name, but the song is in Spanish. It's the artist is by Rocio, but she's saying to talk about the song Amor Eterno, basically, or Eternal Love in English. So I feel like it's their way of recognizing some sort of symbolic. And she goes, oh, my gosh. She goes, I have that song on my playlist right now, and I play it all the time for my mom. So, again, there's moments like that. They just want to resonate that their soul and spirit is right there with them when they listen to music or when music comes through for them.
When you are speaking to a spirit in a different language, because you just mentioned the Spanish song, do they come to you in English? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, you know, it's like a psychic shorthand, basically. You know, everything's out of my frame of reference, my symbolism. So I read for people all over the world. It doesn't matter if they spoke Chinese, Mandarin, Spanish. Doesn't matter, because they use my sign language, my symbolism to interpret that information, which is why certain readings will always sound similar, because it's my symbols. You know, sure. I will always use my symbol as my frame of reference, unless readings will never be the same, but they will sound similar because of how we use or how we work with our symbols or how we use our symbols. And certain symbols can represent, you know, many different things for me. So if I see, you know, Donald Duck, it could represent the person who loved cartoons, the person's named Donald, or there's some sort of either funny duck story that someone has, or someone raised ducks. So those are like four references that could just come to mind at this very moment. So again, each symbol has its own different meaning to the client, but I always give what I get, and typically it makes sense to the client. I mean, a great story was I was doing a Zoom online event 3 days ago or something like that. And the first thing I came out with was, like, I don't know if you remember the movie, guys, but it's with the, what is it called? Never Ending Story. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Movie?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's with that big white dragon dog. So I was seeing that as I was opening up my event, and I was like, I have no idea why I'm seeing this, but I can tell you there's a big white dog that's coming through, like pure white, big dog that I need to recognize here. And I said, there's a name like Sebastian or Bruno. I think that's the name of the dog. And this girl was just like, oh, my gosh. She goes, I lost a wolf hybrid dog, and the dog was named, I forgot what it was called, like Jaxbo or something, some weird name like that. So I feel like that, again, they will use references to come through to recognize that they're around us. But, yeah, I mean, that's what it is, basically. How spirit works is just shorthand. Again, doesn't matter if they spoke any language. When they come through, they're going to come through. And it's not going to make a reading less, less compelling, or it's not going to make it even stronger if the person spoke Spanish. And, you know, we even have a translator on our team that, for people that speak nothing but Spanish, we use our translator, and we do those readings as well for those who speak mainly Spanish, and that could be people in Ecuador, all over the place that we read for. I mean, you get a lot of people from Australia, the UK that I read for because of the convenience of Zoom, and all my readings are done via Zoom. I don't do any in-person readings anymore. And I think it's easier for a lot of people just to access, to reconnect, and realize that you don't need to be in person to connect with someone. You can just talk with them via the telephone, via, you know, a text or something, you know, on social media. So energy is energy. It works the same way, guys.
We get a lot of people here on Long Island that we can't understand them. So I understand symbols being, like, Jeffrey uses the same. Every time we do this, you're going to hear Jeffrey say two things. One is, you need a soulmate, not a cellmate. And the other thing is, well, I'm not a doctor. I mean, mostly because those are the questions that he gets.
Oh my God, yeah.
For you personally, is there a certain question that you get more than others?
Love. Doctor issues, you know, medical issues. You know, people ask me, like, you know, I tell them I'm not a doctor. I'm not a physician. I don't diagnose. So, like, if it's coming through, something comes through, but I always recommend go to the professional, go to that physician. But love is always the main one. Not always, but it's a common thing. But health is a very common one. And more so, I think, just guidance on career. Like, those are the two common things that I see in my psychic readings or intuitive guidance readings. And then mediumship is straight up mediumship if people just really want to connect with loved ones. So those are common things. And then I love working with people that are looking to open up their awareness or looking to develop their abilities. And if it's going to be through me or other mediums, I always recommend like take many classes as you can. You know, you're not going to become an overnight medium in a day or taking a 1 day workshop. It takes time to build that energy, that stamina, but also to be aware of that work, but also to build that energy and knowing that there's ethics that obviously comes involved with this. You don't just start reading off people, you know, in the middle of the street or in a grocery store. Like, that's like, no, that's taboo basically.
So what would you suggest to somebody who maybe feels that they have a gift before taking classes? How would you gauge whether or not somebody has one? How would they gauge themselves?
My main thing would be their experiences, like what they've been going through, like dreams, feelings, emotional, feeling a certain way or when they're around people, past experiences of their having. Are they having experiences where they can pick up energy off people? Are they seeing colors and auras and things of that nature? So it would be a very simple thing that I would just ask them, and then I would kind of work with them to work with certain different exercises if it's doing a mentorship or if it's just doing an online workshop. But when I do my online workshops, I always want to know where my students are at. Like, have you started this work? Are you just curious about it? Like, you know, why you're here? And most of them always say because they've had similar experiences or they have past experiences and they just want to learn how to control it or ground it. So, again, it's understanding where you stand with your work, and I would kind of assess where you're at and to kind of help you further develop it, protect yourself, ground yourself, close it, open, close, all that good stuff.
See, my mother was a tarot card reader for 50 years. She's only starting to talk to dead people for like a year. It like just happened out of nowhere. She's just pulling out names, friends of mine. I'm like, why are you doing this now? Like, she has no idea. And for like somebody who has done a different type of psychic work before, is it a natural transition or is there like an adaptation? Like, how does this work, so to speak? Would the schooling be the same?
I you know, for me, I did not really take any classes, honestly, when I started this work. It was more of a natural thing. It was curiosity, but also coming through very natural for me. Like, I maybe only taken, maybe a month, maybe 3 weeks of like a development circle, and everyone in the development circle, which is basically about, you know, learning about this work, grounding, protect yourself. These were people that were like in their 40s, 50s, 60s. Like, I was the only like 15, 16-year-old kid that was going and just trying to figure this out, trying to understand it. I was like a sponge. So I think it's really, you know, understanding and taking in everything that you can. But for me, like, again, during that time, it was more of a natural thing. I knew that I had psychic or intuitive abilities. Like, we're all intuitive. We all have intuitive abilities. We all have gut feelings. We all have those impressions, but we're not aware of it. The more that we work with that, the more that comes very natural that we start recognizing the signs and symbols. So my mediumship work did not start coming into play until I was a freshman in high school. That's when that happened. So I did not know I had mediumistic abilities. I knew I had psychic abilities because I was reading tarot cards from sixth grade to eighth grade. I was telling people in my junior high school what was going on and what I was seeing, what I was sensing. But I never really talked, quote unquote, to the dead. I never had the dead come to me. So once I met my high school teacher, who was my mentor, she like worked with me during high school, and my mom worked for the district. So I was never ever, you know, my mom wasn't ever aware like what was truly going on in a negative way, like saying like, I don't want him to do it. But she says, right, like, if it happens, it happens. Like, I'm okay with that, you know. So we talked for those 4 years, and almost every day before school, after school, you know, all that stuff. And the mediumship abilities happened in those 4 years where it just kind of exploded, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God. And that's why I mentioned earlier, like, grounding was key, because even with her, I did not know how to ground myself. Like, she was teaching me and telling me, and I did not know how to do it because I could not quiet the mind. And sure, not necessarily quieting the mind fully, because your mind will never be that quiet because there's always something going on, but being aware of your exercise or what you're visualizing or what you're sensing or the sound that you're listening to, and go into that deep focus of connecting to yourself or to your higher self. So, you know, again, for me, I would say it's more of a natural thing that happened where just the doors just swang open and I start the work. And honestly, I was doing, like, it was in junior high school and high school, I was doing house calls. I was doing house calls, reading for friends, parents and family members and their cousins and so on and so forth. And that's when things started for me. And then at 19 and a half, like, things took off on radio here in LA, and one thing led to another. Like I mentioned in one of the other shows, that I did not plan to do this. My thing was to be a firefighter, to be in law enforcement, but that plan kind of just went the opposite.
Sort of a little different now.
Yeah. Well, you know, the different thing now is that I work with law enforcement, with missing persons, homicides. You know, when that happens, like, I feel honored to do it. Or I teach classes now with, you know, certain police departments where we teach intuitive how to work with law enforcement, because we have to understand there's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of things that you need to be aware of. You can't just walk in the police station or call up a detective saying, hey, I got the missing dead girl that is on the news right here standing next to me, and this is what she said. You're going to be a lunatic, to be quite honest, compared to them. So they tell you what you need to be aware of, what you need to do, and how it all works, and we teach that process. And then also we have developed a way to actually now teach students how to work with law enforcement on an intuitive like an intuitive investigation. I'm actually teaching one September 25th. It's like a 6-hour day, and I think there are a couple spaces left for that one, if I'm not mistaken. But that's September 25th via Zoom. But we work on psychic cases, cold cases.
You're teaching the cops how to use their abilities, or you're teaching the cops how to work with a medium?
Both. But this course that I'm teaching is specifically on the 25th. It's specifically for students who actually want to, like, heighten their ability to actually work with law enforcement and understand the background of that work, and wants to know, like, the ins and outs of it and what to do, what to not do. Working with families, working with the victim's family and all that stuff as well. But there's a lot of stuff that people, you know, intuitive need to be aware of. You can't just, you know, again, work with law enforcement. I'm sure Jeffrey knows this because he's done a couple missing person cases that I'm aware of, that when I saw, not just on Maury, but other cases that you talked about. So I'm sure he's aware that there's a lot of things that he, you know, we have to be aware of. We can't just go in it and just be like, oh, I know this information. So there's a lot of red tape.
Without a doubt.
How old were you when you started this?
How
many years have we been working together?
Professionally,
I don't think I've ever
asked. I started the end of college, so figured 24. So I'm doing it over, you know, 30 years now.
But wow. you knew that you were psychic long before that, right?
Yes, I had all kinds of experiences, but it was something I would say to you that I fought, because, believe it or not, I had my degree in hospital administration, and I was going to actually be a lawyer at one point.
Don't say hospital administration. Now everyone's going to ask you about their ailments.
Yeah.
Right. I was just
exactly. But yeah, I was going to be a lawyer. I actually worked for a law firm, and it was interesting at that time. And it was like, and then I was like, I applied to law school, got in, and I was like, no, it's not for me. But I have helped pick juries, and I have worked with attorneys, so that's been interesting in itself.
With attorneys?
Yes. In other words, on cases.
Oh, no, understood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's like a badass secret weapon.
It is. I mean,
right?
You like, especially sitting in a court and doing hand signals to an attorney about, like, which juror to pick. Didn't like it. Wow. Wouldn't do it again, that's for sure. You know? It was like when I used to do Wall Street deals when they were about to go public, and that I hated. So.
Oh, wow.
You know, because there's a lot of pressure. And it was also like, you know, like I had ethics involved with it. I'm like, you know.
Right, my skin is crawling as you're telling these stories.
Exactly. So that was like a different thing. But, you know, like we had, I'll never forget, you know, I did one murder case, and the detective kind of turned on me. And then by the end of, you know, me sitting with the detective was like, wow, you were right about this, you were right about that, you were right about this. So it's like anything else, you know, you do have to learn, like AJ said, about knowing how to, you know, deal with detectives, because there's a normal skepticism, because they think you're a nut job initially.
100%.
You know, unless you, and especially I remember years ago out in LA, there was a woman that reported a case, and it had to do with a missing person, and then they ended up like investigating her, thinking that she did it because she was so accurate.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of moments like that. I mean, not a lot of people are recognized, but here's the thing too. And you know, most I would say about 98% of law enforcement or departments will never say they work with psychics. They may say it like privately, but they will never announce it. They will never say a psychic worked on this case unless they're a smaller department. I know smaller departments are open to working with families and psychics, and there's a lot of cases. I've actually just got reached out, someone reached out to me from a department to work on the case that's about 30 years old, and they actually found the body, they found the skull and all that stuff, and they want to know if I have any insight because they know that I've worked with other departments. So again, there's stuff like that that, you know, you have to be aware of. But they're gonna be very skeptical. So you have to be aware what type of treatment you're gonna get from them, and it's not gonna be all fluff and stuff. It's gonna be straight to the point, and you know, you have to prove to them basically in some sense, like, you're not the suspect. One, you're getting this from Spirit, and two, you're basically like a CI, you're a citizen informant. You know, you're basically bringing them tips.
You know, I worked on this high-profile case on Maury. It had to do with the three girls in Ohio. Remember the three girls that were...
Oh, my God. I remember that one.
Yeah. And I was, like, very accurate. I mean, it was crazy because I said I saw a bus driver.
Right.
The guy was a bus driver. I was at the girl's house,
yep.
And we were, like, two blocks from where they were being held. I said, they're in the area. They're all connected.
Remember
and
how wrong Sylvia Brown was about that? She told the mother...
No, that was a different case. That was a boy in Tennessee.
No, she told...
Oh, maybe you're right.
We could say the girl's name, right? Because it's Amanda Beery. She told Amanda Beery's mother, she goes, your daughter's dead, sweetie.
Yeah.
I mean,
I remember that. Yep.
They were missing for, like, what, 18 years?
Well, I mean, you know what? In Sylvia Brown's defense, in early days, she was very good. And then she kind of went Hollywood. And I think when she went Hollywood, that's what happens, you know, which is what makes it more difficult. But I remember on that case, and I got, like, all kinds of crap because people were like, oh, you're being racist because you said it was, you know, an Hispanic guy. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to say? You know, I mean, come on. I mean, it's, like, ridiculous. What am I going to say? The guy, it was him and his brother, and they abducted these poor girls, you know, within blocks of each other.
Well, it wasn't about her being inaccurate. It's about her just looking at somebody's... mother and saying she's dead, like, that to me was completely irresponsible.
I mean, you've got to be really 100% sure to say that. You know that, AJ. It's like, you know, you're going down a league where you got to be super, super careful because, you know, a lot of times there's hope. I worked on another case where they were convinced that they were dead. It was two kids that were abducted, and I'm like, no, they're alive, and they're in the, you know, the Wyoming or Wichita area, and they're going to be found, and sure enough, they were. So, I mean, it's like anything else. You have to be super careful because you're playing with people's lives.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, that's the main thing with this work. Like, you know, even when a detective, when I work with them, like, when I've been doing this work for so long, like, I just call them basically the target. You know, I still see them as, you know, a person who's still missing, who's still alive, even though that we most likely know that they've transitioned because they've been gone for so long. And there's other times in certain cases where the person just want to get away. And there's been some recent cases from other people that I've worked with that they found like the daughter that's been missing for 16 years, or they've been, you know, trafficked. There's been a lot of sex trafficking that's been going on. It's been going on for years, but now more so than ever, a lot of girls are being found and being taken out of this kind of like this system. And sometimes it happens quite often. I don't know if you heard this on the news in your area, but there was a thing that happened last week that some kid was filming, or he sounded like a kid, but he was filming from his cell phone. And, you know, there's a white van in front of his house, and he's just filming it, and he tells his girlfriend or the wife, or, you know, call 911, and she never did. But basically, the girl is screaming bloody murder for help in the van, and then all of a sudden she goes quiet, and they shut the door, and all of a sudden she screams again, and all of a sudden the van drives off. No one did anything. The guy just filmed it. He didn't get a license plate, didn't do anything. Like, I just wish that someone would have done something, you know, and it's very sad.
It is, because people need to pay attention. And, I mean, the one good thing now is everything's got cameras. So a lot of times, if you get these abductions and you can get things fast enough, they at least have a chance to go over the camera, you know, and they go through all the traffic cams, and they're able to, you know, at least get something. Where in the past, we didn't have that. People disappear, you know?
100%. I mean, thank God for that, you know. But, you know, at the same time, you know, like, what's the thing when you see something, say something? I mean, that would have been a perfect example. But, again, like, not to bring the show in a down spot, but, I mean, like, you know, it is a tough job for us to, you know, do and also deliver those messages to family members as much as we don't want to. But we always do our best. We take pride in our ethics and what we do. So we always try to make sure we do the right thing when it comes down to missing persons, homicide, a private reading, you know, grief, anything else. So we do take our work serious. So just know that, you know, what we do, it comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of positivity that we really want to bring some healing and validation for anyone that's looking for it.
AJ, we're about to move on to Jeffrey taking calls. So before We part. First of all, I got to say thank you again, my friend. 45 minutes just went by like lightning speed. And
exactly.
And thank you for doing this, because this was last minute. We really appreciate it.
It's always fun, guys. Seriously, yeah. I never know what's going to happen with you guys.
How do we find you again, AJ?
Absolutely. You guys can find me on my website at ajbarrera.com. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff as well.
Have fun with the DPs, as Jeffrey liked to introduce, and we shall see you soon, absolutely, my friend.
All right, take care, Jay.
Absolutely, take guys. Care. You guys have a great one. Thanks for having me on.
You too, AJ.
Bye-bye. Right, bye-bye.
We're going to start taking calls, 631-955-0943. He's such a nice guy and a pleasant guy.
He really is. That's why he's a pleasure to have on, because he's just so easy to talk to. And, you know, you could see
And you found him on accident, right?
No, I know him from... He used to do a show with... I think it was Kiss, which was in L.A. So it was similar to...
Kiss Radio.
Kiss FM, okay, which was a similar format. And it was a guy... Sean Valentine, who had a show on, and it was very popular in the 90s, maybe, you know, late 90s.
He's been around that long?
Yeah. I mean, and he was on, he started with that, and that's how we connected. And he's just, you know, you could see what a genuine guy and what a genuine person he is, which is awesome.
All right, we'll start. This is Media Mink, 631-955-0943. Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
Hi, I'm on. I can ask the question?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I know you.
Yes, you're on.
No pressure, sweetheart. Jeffrey's right here.
Hi.
You scared me. Okay.
That's okay. He does that a lot.
I'm 31. All, you know, my friends are married, have kids. Do you see me finding someone?
Yes, miracles do take place. All right. First of all, you got to let this ex go and move forward, which you have not done.
Okay.
So what is that? What does that mean, my darling?
I don't know.
It means that you need to, it's like flushing, it's like Roto-Rooter. You need to like basically let go of the last 5 years. You want marriage, you want a family.
Yeah.
Okay, this is your time. So between now and February, there is a normal human being coming up as compared to what you usually pick, which is either narcissistic, sociopathical, or addiction-oriented. So at least there is hope for you. And I know you're big on instant attraction.
Yes.
This one is definitely not hideous, and this is a normal thing. But see, your problem is you get bored, so you have to look beyond the physical and deal more with the soul.
Well, hon, what was the first thing you said when you called? I'm 31. Most people today don't leave their freaking mother's house at 31. Like, well, what's the rush? Do you want somebody you can grow old with, or do you want somebody right now? Sounds to me like you want somebody right now.
I do, but I like he said, I think I get bored and I.
Oh, you
just...
totally do. You like the bad boys. Leave the bad boys alone.
Okay.
I mean, you can have somebody that, when I say bad, meaning that you can have somebody normal and stable and gentle and gentle, but someone who keeps you on your toes. It just, you have to stop, like, you're really, really making it extremely difficult.
Okay.
When it comes to the fact that you're recycling, stop recycling.
Okay. And, like, how am I going to... I have a very hard time because I don't go out that much.
Yeah, no kidding. You would have to ring your friggin' doorbell, but that's not going to be the case.
Not going to be a landscaper, then?
No, it's not going to be a landscaper, but it's going to come up and you'll be introduced to him.
Postman?
Oh, I'll be introduced.
Yes, but you got to make the effort. As good as I am, if you're not looking to do it, my dear, it's not happening.
Okay. So, but do you think it's the apps? Like, I'm on the app?
You know what? That's fine, but you know what? Stop, you need to be smarter.
Well, stop planning it.
You need to be smarter about when you pick somebody and you know it's unhealthy, move on.
Okay. Move on. Move on. Stop. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. It's there. I have to tell you, this one is tall. This one has brown hair. This is through an introduction. White car. He's the middle child. He's not a child, of course. He's like... More stay away from the younger ones. This one's more like 35. He was either engaged or married, and this should come up like late November, around that time frame. The only thing I can't give you is a phone number.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it.
Say, where's the number?
But you got to change. Please don't go back to the ex.
Okay. No, no, I won't. I won't.
I hope so.
But no, definitely not. But I haven't spoken to him.
It doesn't matter. He's in your energy because number one, the sex was great. Okay.
Yeah,
but that's it. You know,
there's
no depth. Like, you can't depend on him because he's a friggin' wacko.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hello.
Oh, hello.
I mean, come
on. All right, so I got to rid that.
Listen, hon, we got to get to some more calls, but thank you so much for calling.
No, I thank you so much.
All right, I didn't mean to be hard on you, but it's like...
No,
you know,
it's okay.
I'm glad you were hard on her. You're less hard on me when you're hard on someone else.
Yeah, no, you just need to move forward. You're going to be fine.
Okay, all right, thank you so much.
Take care, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
Oh, is this is this the shark?
It is.
It is, hi.
Who's this?
This is Yvonne Porter from Indianapolis, Indiana.
How you doing, Yvonne? I mean, you know.
I'm doing pretty good here, sweetie.
What can we do for you tonight?
Oh, gosh, anything. I'll take anything I can get.
Now, how long is the father passed?
Oh, my gosh, she passed back in 2006.
Because he came through to send your regards. He said he wouldn't be doing this. He would have to be dead to do this. You know that.
Yeah, because he has been gone a while. So
yes,
yeah.
He has. He said he's still good looking, and he's pacing right now. So he's making me feel for you. It's because he really didn't get a chance, to say goodbye.
Yeah, that rings true.
All right, and then he's standing with the brother, and he's standing with his mom.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, and he goes, you worry too much, so stop worrying, you're fine.
Well, it's easier said than done these days.
he has faith in you, which means you can handle a lot more than you give yourself credit for.
Well, he's my pops, and he knew me pretty good.
Well, he still does. You're still his girl.
This is awesome.
So just know this is his way of reaching out, okay?
Okay, honey.
I hear I smell cigarettes, so I don't know if he was the heavy smoker, but I can smell cigarettes like big time.
He used to until he had his heart attack.
That's the first thing he did when he got to the other side, okay? He had the cigarette and he had the beer and he was all set to go.
As soon as he got there, he lit up, huh?
Yes, he did, my dear.
That's crazy.
Well, listen, hon, we only have limited time. We were a little late with our guest tonight, so we're going to take two more calls, so we'll say goodbye here, but hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care of yourself.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Take care.
We love your accent.
Thanks, man.
See you soon.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Hi, you're on with Media Mink.
Hi,
you're on with
Media Mink.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, this is Eileen. I've seen you twice, Jeffrey. My niece Christine was just on.
Eileen, could you turn down the speaker?
Yeah, we're having a hard time hearing it.
Is that good?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay, sorry about
that. All I heard was you saw me twice, I didn't hear. Go ahead.
I'm calling about my daughter's getting married, Brooke. You answered, said a good marriage.
Yes, he's good for her.
She wanted to know if she was having a baby.
Yeah, of course. You can have more than one.
Right. That's what I thought. And then my husband had a heart attack, and you told him, he had 5 years the last time I saw you. And we're at the five-year mark. He had another one. So I was wondering how he's doing.
I mean, you haven't killed him yet, so that's a good sign, which means you're keeping him around. But he's definitely got challenges coming up.
I know. And then we moved to the Villages, and what do you think about this?
I think it's great.
Oh, good? Okay.
I think it's going to be great for you because you need to be around people. You're too isolated.
Oh, I love it. And then one last question.
Just tell him if he doesn't take care of himself, you'll be finding your next husband there.
I know. You told me that before. I know. And then my other little daughter, Allie, is a pilot. She's graduating.
Awesome. Congratulations. She'll have no problem.
Okay, and Brooke will be good. And
listen, you have to have confidence in Brooke. What does she do? She takes after her mother. She's a fixer.
Ah, yeah.
I know.
And she's going to TSA tomorrow.
Well, she'll be fine.
TSA, the job, TSA?
Yes, I know what TSA is.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You don't have to worry. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, they have money housed it together already.
So you're sitting here, and what I heard in the last 5 minutes is you are worried about every single person in your life but you. When are we worrying about you?
Well, I have a disease, but I feel pretty good. I mean, as long as the kids and everybody's good.
Listen, get to Florida. Enjoy yourself.
I know. I need to do that.
All right.
I love you, Jeffrey. You know Deborah and my other niece. You're the best.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I really What a great guy. So I hope you're good, too.
I'm good. Listen, I have no complaints. Everything is good.
I know. You love Florida. We'll catch up with you.
I know. I absolutely do. You're right, but I'm not quite ready yet to go. So.
No, you'll be around.
Of course
I will.
Yes.
You're so funny. Okay. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Take care.
I guess we're all good.
Yes.
This is wonderful.
Enjoy your wedding.
And Heather, do you see the Heather was tragically murdered?
No, we don't do, honey, we don't do murders here. We
okay.
keep it light, all right?
Okay.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Yeah, no, murders are a no-no. You heard about Ed Asner today, right?
Yes.
It turns out Ron Bushy just died, the drummer of Iron Butterfly.
There you go.
And I got a David.
Well, there's going to be two more music people you're going to hear about. What? You asked.
Come on, I did not ask.
Yes.
Thanks.
All right.
Hi, you're on with Medium Inc.
Hello.
How you doing, honey?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are very well. I was great until like a second ago.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, your musical heroes are going to die. Thanks.
I didn't say that. I said there were two more music people. Okay. What did I say? I said two music people will be moving on shortly. That's all I said. I didn't say anyone connected to anyone you like.
I appreciate that. What's your name, hon?
My name is Maribel.
Maribel, we're getting kind of macabre here, so why don't you come lighten us up?
Hi, Maribel.
Hi. I just had a couple of questions really quickly. I know you guys are busy.
That's okay.
No, we're here for you right now.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, thank you so much. I just want to know. If everything's going to work out, like.
Yes,
financially and everything.
If you stop worrying and you're going back to school and the surgery is going to go fine and you're with the right guy and stop sabotaging yourself, you'll be fine.
Jeffrey, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
All right, stop making it harder for yourself, Mary.
Wait a minute, honey, listen, normally we can't get people off the phone. It sounds like you got a couple of things on your mind. Don't rush. You sound like a complete nervous wreck. Take a breath. Think about what you want to ask Jeffrey and ask him another question, okay?
Yes, Jeffrey, my sister is in a relationship, and her boyfriend has a couple of things that he's going through.
Yes.
Do you think that this is a good relationship
not at all, but she's not going to listen. You already know that.
Yeah.
She's stubborn. You know, she's where you used to be, so that makes it very hard to fix.
Yeah. Do you think things will get better with me and my son's relationship?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
And everything with my boyfriend and
his mom. He's fine. The mother loves you. How much better can you get? She's already adopted you. For God's sakes, come on. How much better does it get?
And just one last thing. My dad. How do you see things?
I mean, he's got challenges. There's no in between. You need to step away from that.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
All righty.
Stop making yourself
Thank you great. So much for
You're
answering
welcome.
Me.
All right. Hang in there. Feel better, okay?
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
We'll
you
see
too.
You soon, hon. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
And that was an hour really fast.
Yes.
Like, super quick.
Yeah.
I mean, Iron Butterfly, like, they only had the one song. They had a full album, but the one song took up the whole side.
There you go.
It was the singer.
Well, what about our friend, the drummer from the Rolling Stones?
Oh, God. You know, that one hit hard. I was just talking with my uncle about him 2 days before he passed.
But look at the life he had. Look at what he did. Now he can play with other people up there.
Oh, it's a super group and a half.
Agreed.
Him and Bonham could have the drum off. He's got He's got Jimmy. It's just, to me, the Stones are the rock band that every other rock band tried to follow. And Charlie was that drummer. The best drummers are the ones you don't know are there. He kept the backbeat.
Agreed. And he wanted to kill Mick numerous times and did not.
Over and over again.
Agreed. So when you look at all this, you look at the fact that he went on his terms.
Yep. Yeah, it was the most rock and roll thing I ever saw last year when they did that Safe at Home or Together at Home COVID.
Yes.
The Stones did one of those quarantine jams. Charlie didn't even bother to pretend to be playing a drum set. He was playing his couch. He would just play
it. Well, it worked for him.
It was cool. All right, so we are not going to be here next weekend because it's Labor Day.
Correct, you're off. And we're allowing you to go.
You give me a day off?
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
But I'll have to work an extra day to make up for it, right?
Yes.
You are going to be in Florida.
I'm going to be in Florida. I'm going down to do some things, finishing up, construction project down there, so that'll be good. And then we have a bunch of shows.
I was going to say, you finally
we're
going to
do
stuff,
Angela's
right?
House.
Yeah.
That's going to be, it should be up on the website. I'm doing a bunch of shows in Florida. I'm doing a talk, which is very interesting, at the Parkland Library, which is where the shooting was, you know, the high school thing.
Of course. You're going to the library?
I'm going to the library down there. And doing this. Then I'm doing a Halloween show in Boca.
Okay.
And then we're doing another show in West Palm that night, which are all mini seances, which should be pretty interesting.
For the Parkland thing, I should fly down and drop you off some tequila. That sounds like a heavy
one. Should be intense. And then we are doing two walk shows, which is your favorite place. Windows in the Lake.
Jeffrey's coming to Ronkonkoma.
Exactly. And we're going to be going to Levittown. We're going back to Domenico's. So got a lot of stuff on the calendar.
Domenico's is phenomenal. Domenico's is some of the best food.
Well, that's good.
So, all right. We will see you in 2 weeks if you would like. Jeffrey is going to be on Walk 97.5 tonight. The phone number there is
631-955-0. What is it?
0975.
Five. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Of course, I mess that up. I get shark right, but I get walk wrong. Oh, yeah.
Good night, Long Island.
Good night.